Hare Krishna. Yeah, I think probably most of the English-speaking audience is aware of the migration, the migrants and refugees who are fleeing through Europe towards places like Germany, Belgium, for asylum. Mostly due to the war in Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan. And I just thought I'd share a few of my own memories of being a refugee myself. I can't say I have terrible memories. I have a few that are awakened emotion. But for the most part, they're good memories. But those good memories are also quite helpful to remember how and remind us how our duty as human beings, but to speak of as devotees, is to help others, to really help others. Suridam sarvabhutanam, that's the quality of a Vaishnava, friends. To everyone. And how do we show that friendship? How do we show that love to each other? We may not think it's a big thing, but it does. It goes a long way. My first experience of that my life was going to turn upside down, although I didn't really know what that meant, was still in Budapest when we were there. And interestingly enough, when I reminded my mother about it, who had a much better memory than me for these things, didn't remember. But it was the revolution had already started, and we were sitting at the dinner table, and it was an evening. And I remember either my mother or father, but since my mother's sort of the spokesperson for the family, then it was probably her, saying, "What do you think if we leave Hungary and we go to Canada and be with your aunt, Eva?" Eva was my father's younger daughter, younger sister, who I don't think I remember meeting. They'd already moved to Canada, and I just said, yeah, why not? And it was, in that sense, sort of fun. But that was sort of my first impression that something different was going to happen. I was living a very, very normal life, a very peaceful life, despite the fact that there were political upheavals. But you're 6, 7 years old. What do you understand of those things? For me, life was a game. And in one sense, it continues to be that. Somehow we're so fortunate not to be victims of the type of things that you read about in the newspapers, at least not yet. We'll see what Krishna has in store. And then sure enough, we left. My first real experience with as a refugee of fear came, and some level of confusion came when we were on a train. My father bribed some Hungarian officials to give us travel documents. By November, the borders, this is 1956-57, by November, the 56, excuse me, the borders have been closed to Austria, and so Hungarians couldn't leave. The first couple of months of the revolution was open, and quite a few hundred thousand Hungarians flew, left. But that was stopped, and people couldn't leave anymore. So traveling became very restricted, but my father got travel documents, and we got on a train from Budapest to Sopron. And we were on the train, and we were on the train. All of a sudden, the train was stopped, and there was also some firing, some bullets. My father said that those were bullets, and some soldiers were getting on, looking at, checking everyone's travel documents. So I remember my father telling me, he says that if people ask you where we're going, don't tell them we're going to Canada. Tell them that we're just going to visit relatives in Chopron. So the soldiers never asked me anything. They just looked at the documents and went on. But that was a very strange thing, because I was old enough to recognize that my father was telling me to lie, which had never ever happened. And he wasn't that type of person, and I wondered why, and I was afraid. What followed that evening, going to sleep, crossing the border, that was adventure. It really didn't quite click with me, just what was taking place. But although it was really quite exciting, but what did click, and what was my probably deepest experience of sort of disappointment, although it wasn't personal, it was what I saw my father going through, was when we got to the Austrian border. We got over to the other side, and we got to the outskirts of this village, Treiskirchen. And that's the same village where the refugees are being housed now, in the same place that we were housed 60 years ago, in the same refugee camp. And which is a nice place. I remember there were lots of big trees and big buildings, but I'll describe of that. So we got to the outskirts of the village, and my father said, "Stay here." Me and my mother just were standing there in the darkness, and because there were some street lights, and he went to houses and knocked on the house. This was, I don't know, 3 o'clock in the morning, so he's waking people up. And the first people who he knocked on the door, they wouldn't let us in. My father knocked, and they opened the door, and then he was talking to them. Of course, he spoke fluent German, and he pointed to us, and they said no. And then he came back and told us, no, we have to go try the next place. So we went to the next house. And then he did the same thing again, and again they turned us away. And I could see my father wasn't necessarily upset for himself. He went through quite difficult times in the war, but instead for us. Anyway, as it is, the third, it's always, it seems like the proverbial third time you try something that it tends to work. The third door, knocked, and the people did. They welcomed us in, and they let us in. And they were very nice people. 3 days we stayed at their place before I think we registered at the refugee center, and then we moved there, and we were there for 2 months. And these people were very nice. I don't know what event it was, but I remember they bought me presents, and I remember eating there, and we ate together at their dinner table. And what was very interesting, which shows how grateful people can be, is that my parents kept touch with these people throughout their lives. Even though they were in Canada, they were corresponding. And when my mother and father started to sort of travel through Europe, and sometimes they would come to England, rent cars, and then drive from London to Hungary. So they would see me in London and they'd drive to Hungary. Then they would always stop at these people's place. So, you know, a little kindness, when people show a little kindness, it means a lot. 3 days and a lifelong connection. I never met the people. I didn't know them, but my parents continued that connection. And then there was the ship and the train from Nova Scotia to Montreal, but and times time's moving on, so I'll just recount sort of the last, which for me was a personal experience that I had, which was the school. So we got there. Well, November we got out. 2 months we waited. We got there. So probably in February. In February we got there. I can't remember exactly when in February. And of course, first thing is when my mother took me to register in school, put me in school, Van Horn Elementary School. And at that time we were staying with my aunt's place. We were staying there. And so so I didn't have any time to just lounge around or play. I had to get registered into school right away. And so I remember she took me to school. And I remember sitting in the principal's office, and my mother was telling me that I only had, well, I don't think November was when we left, but in the revolution, I think that schools and things like that stopped a lot earlier. In other words, I only had a couple of months of second grade. And so the topic was, you know, should I be put into second grade, or should I just finish first grade and redo second grade next year? And my mother spoke fluent English, and as well as German, of course Hungarian. So then the principal sent my mother out of the room, and I didn't speak any English. Well, I was learning songs. My mother was teaching me English songs. I don't know where she learned them from, but I knew songs. So he was asking me to do some arithmetic, which you didn't need to speak very much for, add this, multiply this, and so on. And I did. And then he called my mother back, and more or less he told her, he said, he doesn't have to go back to grade one. He knows enough. And so the principal just, that was in February, which means March, April, May. I would have another 3 months of school, and I didn't even speak English. I felt very grateful that he'd had that level of trust and faith and gave that type of encouragement. And then the question was whether I'd move on to third grade next year. And I remember I didn't do, I think I was sort of like a fair because of lack of language and so on. And I was a fair, there was a little discussion later, should I be moved up to third grade, but I was. And then after that, once I spoke English and everything went quite smoothly. And actually there's something I just remember, which I'll just add to that. I remember then the principal took me to the classroom, second grade classroom, introduced me to the teacher, and the teacher then selected one boy who was an Austrian boy, Tony. He said, you have to, he lived in the house next to mine, or at least where we were staying, and he was given in charge of me to, so he brought me to school, and he was my friend, and he was what you may call my best friend all through the rest of the years. And one thing that was very interesting was because I didn't know English, I remember once being in the playground and the children making fun of me. And, you know, like little children do. What are these 7-year-old children? And so they were, or 8-year-olds. And they were, yeah, then I was 8 years old by that time. And they were crowding around and making fun. And then I think Tony sort of protected me, and he went and complained to the teacher, and the teacher set the kids straight, and that was it. That was the extent of my persecution as a refugee. So I had it pretty good, and by comparison to what I see so many others going through, but.
But I'm sympathetic. I think there's a greater plan in the world unveiling than just some limited phenomena taking place. We'll see what that is, no doubt, in time. But certainly the human gesture of showing kindness to others in need, helping others, is something that is remembered. It's something that's very rewarding for individuals, that is rewarded by the Lord, and certainly something that's a very much integral part of Vaishnav culture. Suvidam Sarvabhutanam. Hare Krishna.